Howard William Tausch begins now.
Oh, Jesse can't win when it comes to Steinhoffels, can he? Tough deal.
Jesse, okay over there?
I'm feeling much better than I was when I was sick on Friday and couldn't be a part of the show. Yes, thank you. Tausch, do you ever feel bad about just being a bully and
not
forcing
often.
Your way into winning
Who's
things?
Who's bullying you? I didn't say anything to anybody about anything.
You are given...
I was asked twice...
Yeah, you, first of all, who made you the arbiter of the rules? Your analytics firm goes to you for the official ruling. Why didn't they go to Jason for the official ruling? Why didn't they go to me for the official ruling?
Well, you know what's great? Here's the deal. Just like the Academy is going to be handed off to the Wilde Foundation next year, you can find your own Academy to judge this.
You don't get to do that.
And if that's what you want to do, that's great. I'm okay with that. I'm trying to get this thing rolling. We're rolling. Having a great year. It looks like old T's going to win again for this 8th straight year on Steinhoffel Sleepers. And that's okay. It's all right, Jesse. Second place. There's three people on a medal stand.
All right. We're not going to waste any more time.
Congrats, Jason.
We got a lot
good
of calls
win
to get
for you.
Yeah.
We got a bunch
good
of calls to get
nice
to.
Nice pick,
844,
Jason.
Yeah, 844-770-3776. I am irritated because I think Aaron Jones would have found a way to say complimentary things without saying that these guys had any chance or giving them bulletin board material. So if you're with Tausch and you're not in the YouTube comments, you can chime in 844-770-3776. Aaron Jones literally saying the same thing as Mark Tauscher. They haven't beaten any of these teams, but any given Sunday, they could.
Why are you so excited about what Aaron Jones is saying?
I'm not. Like,
I'm just confused.
I wasn't that excited until it was poo-pooed. Then I got riled
you
up.
You brought it up. You said, let's make sure we get this in. He said,
right, because I
he
said
the
like question,
mundane cliches.
Nah, I didn't think so. My question is, for Packers fans, do you believe as much as Aaron Jones claims?
Do you believe
believes?
In Aaron Jones? Does, oh,
no,
my
no, no,
God.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I can't wait for you to leave now. You should leave early. Make sure you don't miss your flight.
I hope my flight shows up on time. Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good to see you.
How was that game yesterday?
Pretty good win, huh?
Not for us.
No, I'm talking. Oh, I'm just in general. Tough day. Tough day.
Pretty good win.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Pretty good win for who? For you, Aaron Jones?
Just trying to move it on. Well, that's what we're doing. Yeah, we're talking. It's not a big deal, right? Just trying to move things along.
Pretty good win.
Just trying to move things along.
Pretty good win.
Pretty good win.
Oh, boy.
The guy Commanders fan or what?
He's got a Lions jersey on.
They play tonight.
They play tonight. Oh, so they didn't have a pretty good win yet either. All right, 844.
Let's just get back to let's talk Aaron Jones. Jason wants to. What else did Aaron Jones have to say about Jordan Love? And let's break down Aaron Jones.
Let me clarify this so we can get the calls. I thought that his takeaway was an interesting starting point to ask after hearing what he said. If Packers fans are as hopeful and optimistic as he sounded about his former team. And I wasn't on the post-game show until the very end, in the last portion of the show. We even went longer so I could get more thoughts in than we were scheduled to go. But I'm curious if there are Packers fans that, I don't know, what were they like after the game, Tausch? You're the one who takes calls.
So,
were they downtrodden? Were they
Packer
pissed?
Fans
what
are,
were they?
They're not pissed. I think it's more of a resignation that we're a good team, not great. That's the vibe that I'm getting, and I think it's fair. I think rational, reasonable people, which I am not telling you to be, unless you're the head football coach for the Packers. As a fan and an observer, I still think this is a good team. They've beaten all of the teams they should, but the bottom line is they have not done it in the big moments yet. you are judged on what you do in the postseason. There were plenty of games in that 10-6 season, and we ended up going and winning a Super Bowl. And the New York Giants were 9-7, and Eli Manning's going to the Hall of Fame because he went on a 4-game heater. Why can't Green Bay do that? They can. Will they? The odds say they won't, because it is very difficult to pull that off. And it's happened 4 or 5 times in this formatted of playoffs. 7 seeds have never done it. Probably going to be a 7 seed unless Dallas bows up and beats Washington. So where we're at, I think, is from a fan base standpoint, there is a resignation. At least that's the general vibe. I'm not going to put everybody in this box. There is a resignation that we are a good football team that can't quite be great. And my point continues to be not yet. That doesn't mean it can't happen down the road. But as we sit here right now, that is where we're, that's where this football team is.
844-770-3776. So you said, I heard you on the postgame show, you think they can win a playoff game, which I'm pretty sure that's what Aaron Jones was saying, that they could, that the Vikings or the Lions could see them again.
Jesse, Jesse, I might, because Jason and I are talking here, and we're obviously both in different locations. Am I mishearing something here, or is this something super profound that it's just over my head?
Oh, I'm not helping you with anything, old T. You're on your own.
But can you just, can you clarify what is going on here? Because I'm really confused why this Aaron Jones thing is a big deal. Like, I'm just confused by it. Can you help me? Because Jason's not getting through to me today.
All right. As a Green Bay Packers fan, which I am, and not a Minnesota Vikings fan, except
for
now. Those 2 years.
2010 to 2013, you weren't.
I think it is unique to hear a former player of the team that I cheer for go to a division rival to play and still have success, but speak glowingly about his former team. And even though the Vikings have crushed the Packers twice this season,
2-point wins each time,
right? Sure. He says that they are still a Super Bowl contending team and that they can make a run in the playoffs. And that's not something you traditionally hear someone say about another team in the division or a former team, when he thought he still had some more in the tank to play in Green Bay.
Okay, so you're on Jason's side on this, which is okay. Yeah, so you're on Jason's side. I just don't think it's that big a deal.
It's not. All right.
You guys do.
Okay.
And that's okay.
As is often the case with you, and I don't want to use up more of your time before you leave. But what you're missing is, I wanted to use it as a, if you recall the text message I sent, are you as optimistic as a Packers fan as Aaron Jones sounded yesterday about the Packers' chances? That's what I wanted to ask. And you and him seem to view the Packers the same way. You're not the former player that played in the game yesterday, but you think they can win a playoff game, even if it's at
Absolutely.
Philly. Yes. If it's at, if they get the 6. Yes. If you're reading what he said, he never says, boy, I hope we don't have to play them again because I think they're going to beat us. He doesn't say that. Of course, it's not that profound. My point is that I think we all agree at this point. That was at your end. That wasn't in my hotel room, right?
It's a good win.
It's do you believe that they can do anything more than win one playoff game at this point? And I don't even know if they can do that. But when he says we could see them again, it's not going to be because they're going to see them in the first round. Because either Detroit or Minnesota is going to get the 1 seed, and the other team's going to be a wild card ahead of the Packers. So my point is if you are a Packers fan today, after what has happened, and they're 0-5 against the Lions, the Vikings, and the Eagles, do you believe that they are capable of seeing these teams again? Getting as far as they got in the playoffs last year. Because that's what Aaron Jones is suggesting. And I don't think they are. I think if they have to go to Philly, they're going to get beat. What is going on at the airport?
There's some kid just yelling for no apparent reason. I'm not, like, he's cupping his hands and just screaming for, I'm not going
to judge. Listen to Aaron Jones.
Why. Aaron Jones is right. The Packers can maybe win a playoff game. Yeah. Okay, Jason, we found another guy. He's good. Bring him in. He's
great to have him on my team.
I, I just don't, and that's maybe where I don't think it's that profound, is because I think everybody that's watched this team is like, all right, they're good, but they're not great. And you can find a way to beat anybody. But there's, I still just stand with the fact this is as wide open of an NFC as we've ever seen. There isn't a dominant team. There are a bunch of really good teams. Some teams are better than others. I have to put Minnesota very begrudgingly in that category. I have to put Detroit and Philly less begrudgingly, but I'm telling you right now, I think Green Bay is going to be better positioned than whoever loses that game next week, because you're empty in the bucket. It is going to be an emotional boof for whoever loses, and then they're going to have to go on the road and go play in a game when they are looking at it saying, man, we had a hell of a year, but we're really not in that much of a better position than a team that we've beaten twice in the Green Bay Packers or the Washington Commanders. That's a tough thing to overcome.
I would agree, and they'll have to go, as you said, they'll have to go on the road. Tell us again about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin before you and the shouting kid board your airplane later.
I hope that kid is not sitting next to me.
I'll be sitting right next to you.
Remains comfortable before we reach the brutal post-holiday winter. Yes, Santa Claus, he's magical, did a great job, got everything done. Elves, not as much. Pella just has too many options and customizations. You need the pro from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. So instead of going through the big red fella, take advantage of this deal from Pella. Get as low as $19 per window, $81 per patio door per month. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends on the 31st. Visit PellaWI.com to learn more.
We'll get to your calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the world because it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes because your future's ready to shine. It's just a matter of time before we learn how to fly.
Let's get back to your calls. Good win yesterday. The Packers lost 27-25 to the Minnesota Vikings.
I don't think I said
Vikings
yesterday. I think I just said good win. I didn't specify when it was a good win.
No, I know.
Could have been Badger basketball a week ago.
I was actually talking, I think he had a BYU shirt on. So, big win.
I thought you said he had a Lions jersey on.
No, I said there were Lions jerseys coming from the other time.
No.
Oh boy, right,
we'll rewind the tape. Yep. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Rewind it. Get Aaron Jones's input on it. See what he has to say. Yeah, good squad. Got a good squad. We just thumped them, but a good squad.
Let's talk to John in Massachusetts. John, good morning. Welcome to Wilde and Tausch. How are you today?
Hi guys. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. What do you got,
hey, John? Good win.
So, yeah, I think the only positive I could come up with, I don't even think this is low-lying fruit. I think it was the only fruit on the tree was Edgerrin Cooper. That dude's a star, man. I don't know if you guys, Jason, you probably didn't being at the game, but on the broadcast there was a play where you heard it over the TV, the center or Darnold, whoever it was, identified 5-6, identified Cooper. Sam Darnold canned the play to a running play to the left, and Cooper blew it up for a loss of two. So I thought that was kind of funny that they're calling him out, they're changing the play based on the alignment, and he still gets a TFL and set the Vikings back. So that was awesome. My negatives, Tausch, I didn't hear you talking about it on game night. I couldn't listen, but I wanted to call in and talk about LaFleur's demeanor, and you kind of took the words right out of my mouth. I think it's so important to show more poise outwardly, especially with such a young team. And I think that's something that we're forgetting as we're going here. This is still the youngest team in the NFL for the second year in a row. And Tausch, I know you love your analogies. I think of it as a horse knows when the man riding it is concerned and nervous. The horse can tell, and it makes the horse unsteady. And I think with a young team, they're going to look to their coach. We hear it all the time. You go as the coach goes. The team takes on the identity of the coach or the mindset of the coach. And I think LaFleur coming out a little too hot can be or is a driving factor in some of the mistakes that they're making, causing them to start so slow. You look at drops. You look at assignment mistakes with protection. You look at 12 guys in the offensive huddle. You look at procedure penalties. All of that stuff comes down to focus. And I think your focus wanes when you're coming out too hot and too intense instead of just playing loose and playing your game.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I just keep thinking back to what Dick Bennett always says when it comes to that. I thought that was one of my favorite quotes I've heard on this show in the however many years we've been doing it. Right behind Aaron Jones's comments on how he thinks the Packers could be okay in the playoffs. When you want something so bad, you have to hang on loosely. You love something. The thing is always you want to squeeze and hold on tightly. That's the last thing you should do. And there is no doubt Matt LaFleur, you can see, loves the G&G. He is passionate. He wants to win so bad. And I love that. But it has to be, you have to kind of figure out your methods. And it can't always be high intensity. The world is coming to an end. Like, there's things you just have to be like a duck. There's a duck in that Tampa game that stopped a punt. You have to have that where just let the water flow off your back and not let it become a bigger deal than what it is. And when you do that, your team sees it and you understand, you know, not everything is that important. How are you?
8-4.
Happy New Year.
Good win.
You guys are jerks, by the way.
Let's get to one more call before the break.
Is this a big deal? Do you think this is a big deal that LaFleur is how he is, or is this just you want intensity? Like, you, because there it goes the other way too. There's coaches where it's like, can you show some, like Paul Chryst, can you show some emotion? Can you, like, you hear it on the other side of it. And in fairness, I'd rather see it where you're more, but I think Andy Reid is a great example. How often do you see Andy Reid freaking out when there's a penalty or when they don't convert something? It's not everything being the end of the world, right? It's, all right, what do we got to do? Let's figure it out and go on to the next. Dan Campbell's the same way. Dan Campbell is an intense dude. But he's not over there freaking out every time there's a penalty called or something happens bad to the Detroit Lions. So I'd like to see something in that order of maybe just mellowing out just a little bit.
I would say this, that Matt LaFleur, there are certain times when it's okay to kind of blow your stack and be frustrated. Mm-hmm. I think for him it's happening too frequently. And I think sometimes it impacts his decision making. Kevin O'Connell, he was joking. I used this quote in my story. There was a moment in the Seattle game, or maybe it was the week after, where Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison are all celebrating on the sideline. Must have been the following week when they were in Minneapolis because it would have been on the home scoreboard. And in a self-deprecating way, Kevin O'Connell says, I was just hoping that they wouldn't show me up on the scoreboard and I'd kill the vibe, because he's always focused on the next play. He's not an emotional guy. You know, his emotions are more, you know, hugging guys on the sideline and that kind of stuff. He's not fiery by any means. You know, he's very even keeled like Romeo Doubs. And so if you look at him, that's his MO. In LaFleur's case, it feels like this is a somewhat recent change, because we weren't talking about him in this way previously. And
it feels like the post-Rodgers era for him. It's been like this. We saw it last year where he got choked up on the sideline at halftime if they were struggling. I don't know if he felt like he needed to do something different. He needed to be more assertive. I don't know. That's out of my pay grade. All I know is there is a certain amount of let's be here when it's needed to be. And it just felt like yesterday, and we've seen this with the challenges and everything else. That is, I think, something that he could be better at. That's all.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that he could be better at it. Let's get to one more call before the break, and then we'll roll on with more of your calls. So keep them coming, especially after old boy departs, which may happen sometime after this hour or during this hour, 844-770-3776. Let's go to Jesse's old stomping grounds of Peoria, Illinois.
Heck yeah.
What? Peoria? Yeah. Wow.
Does it play in Peoria? Let's talk to RJ. RJ, good morning. Welcome to Rule the Entouch. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, you know, I'm hanging in there after last night. It's a pleasure to speak with both of you. I gotta give a shout out to Tosh, man. I grew up watching that guy. Goes in as good a rookie man. For an injured. Goes in for a, yeah, good one. Goes in for Earl Dotson and mainstay for the next 11 years.
Appreciate you.
Just an absolute pleasure watching you, Tosh.
First guy from Peoria that I like that I know. Kudos to you.
Yeah. I got honestly mostly negative things. I don't know that there's much positive other than, I mean, Edrin Cooper's a positive, it seems, every week. I guess that's one guy we can point to. But I don't like any, I'm so over the comparisons to the 2010 year. I mean, we had rock stars at every single position that year,
especially even right injuries. Tackle with, I mean, Ryan Bulaga.
Dang.
Bulaga. Well, the O-line in general, but. Yep. The D-line, Coleman Jenkins was a monster that year. You had Clay, who had like 13 sacks.
Yeah, I don't Coleman had a crap ton of sacks and only played 11 games. Especially when we play Philly, you're going to hear a lot of those comparisons because that's obviously the road that started the Super Bowl. So continue.
Yeah, well, and the secondary, I mean, our entire secondary was a rock star group that year. Nick Collins, Woodson, Tremond, Shields was great.
Yep.
It's just everywhere, everywhere. The receivers group, I don't know what's up with our receivers group. I think it's honestly, I mean, look at the Kansas City game last year. I know we had Watson for that game, and I know he makes a big difference when he can stretch the field, but I just don't think we're scheming it like we were at the end of last year with what we got. And it's frustrating. For me, I think a lot of it falls on LaFleur, at least this game, via the eye test. I mean, we're driving down the field. Jacobs is rushing hard. He's getting what feels like 5 or 6 yards minimum per carry. And then the fumble happens, and you kind of see the pattern we've seen in the past where LaFleur kind of just gets a little shook, by what happens in the game. And next thing you know, we're passing on the next three downs in that next possession. Love sails it on 3rd and 10. Should have been a pick. Terrible throw. He wasn't great last night, but I don't know that it necessarily. No, I think if we get him in rhythm, I think it's another ball game. I mean, it's just hard to see what. I know this year it's been different, but watching what Shanahan's able to do with talent and just be in competitive games, like I said this year, not the case with all the injuries and whatnot. But it just feels like LaFleur tends to abandon the run in big games, and if we don't get off to a 14-point lead to 20-point lead, we start to crumble. When things get tight, he starts to get a bit panicky. I'm less worried about his demeanor on the sideline versus how the moment
that all goes together.
It absolutely does, because the moment to moment gameplay seems to affect him in regards to how he calls the game as it goes forward. I don't know. I think it's going to be really hard. I think if we don't get off to, if we don't score on our first two possessions, touchdowns next week, or I'm sorry, in 2 weeks against Philly, I it's going to be, I don't know, boys. I don't know. But that's all
so
I got.
RJ, great call, RJ, other than the compliments for old T. But really great call.
Sounds like Aaron Jones. He's kind of saying what Aaron Jones is saying.
Let me ask you this, Tausch, because I thought he made some really good points, but let's go back to the final point that he made, which we were talking briefly about earlier. Like, when they go to Dallas and win the way they did last year, they started like gangbusters. Is this team reliant on getting off to a good start? Do they have the resilience to be able to win against a good team if they get off to a rough start? Because there's no evidence that they can.
We have to find out. No, it has not been proven. We've seen some great comebacks. We've seen some great opportunities to win. But somebody last night brought up a great quote. And that was, when is the last time this defense, you can go all the way back. And the first thing that popped into my mind was stopping Ben Roethlisberger up 31-25 to win a Super Bowl. When is the last time this defense in a big game made a stop when the game was on the line to win it? When is the last time a Packers team did that? Because for as much as you can say about that Seattle playoff game, if the defense can make one stop, all of the other stuff is done, right? So when and has there been one in the past 10 years? And if you can name a couple, I'm all ears. But I haven't heard that. And that comes back to having a Clay Matthews, a Reggie White, having one of those guys that can make a game-changing play at the end of a football game. Right now, you make an argument that that guy is not there, at least right here. And you have to make plays at the end of games to find a way to win. So I think what our caller was just saying there is this a front-running team? That's the basic gist of what I just heard. Maybe I'm wrong, but the answer to this question is, have we had any great comebacks where we've made stops and then made the end-all stop, which yesterday would have been, if you make that stop, all of a sudden everything's different. But that's not how it played out.
Tausch, tell us about the good win you had, like the Packers, on Prize Picks yesterday.
Yeah, I went less with Josh Jacobs. I think that was a W for me. Less with Jaden Reed is a good win when you go less on anything passing yesterday from Jordan Love. And Prize Picks is where I did it. Daily Fantasy Sports made easy, more or less, on two players. Can win up to 100 times your cash, and it's easy. You get your money back in as quick as 15 minutes. You can now win up to 1,000 times your money on Prize Picks. Download the app today. Use code WI to get $50 instantly after you play that first $5 lineup. Again, that's code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks.
Run.
Run your game.
More of your calls next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Remember the nights when we were young, dumb, and wild and free. When I close my eyes, I could see you in my sweatshirt. Dancing around that college bar. These days I don't know where you are, but I get to keep these memories forever.
Sources close to the program indicating that Old Boy and all of his many fans at the airport are going to be boarding their flight shortly. So, Tausch, tell us about Fortrea as you get ready to board.
I will. Looking for a little extra cash? Head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com to get in on some of these great studies and vary it in how much money you can make. This one, healthy overweight adults ages 18 to 65, BMI 30 to 40, study 3 stays, 7 nights, 12 follow-ups, $14,148 for your time and participation. Another $350 per qualified referral. Head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
All right, so since we've gotten after each other a little bit about my conversation with Aaron Jones, let's end on this.
Okay.
If Aaron Jones's opinion is not worth a whole lot here, tell me why, as a Packers fan, I, meaning they, should be encouraged. What's the reason I should have hope? If Aaron Jones's take is not valid, you tell me.
No.
As an analyst,
I just think Jason, you have to look at Aaron Jones's take from his perspective. He loves the Packers, and he
so do
I
you.
Think, wishes, I know he wishes he was still on the team, and he has great friends on that team. So the reason you're optimistic is because they're a good team, and they have the pieces in place that have proven that they can win games. Can they win the big game?
No, I don't believe they can. I don't think they can get there.
Well, three games is a lot. Can you win one? Yes, you can win one. And I think for Packer fans to sit here and say, well, it's over. No, it's not over. It ain't over till it's over. But you can look at it realistically as well and say, having to go beat Philly, beating a Detroit, and then beating somebody else, it ain't going to be easy. That's going to be a hard log to go. But this team, I believe, is still good enough that they could. And all you're looking for in the playoffs, when you're one of the low seeds, which the Green Bay is going to be, is a chance to have a chance, and they're going to have that.
Yeah, I think the point that RJ in Peoria, other than saying how great you were, which was, I didn't agree with that at this point today, was this, that let's stop comparing this team and act like it's capable of what the 2010 team did. Because the idea of these guys, if these guys are really going to go beat, let's say Minnesota is the number one seed, just for our argument here before you go, and Detroit, mm-hmm. with all their injuries, ends up as the five. If this team has to go Philly because it's the seven seed, and then has to play, you know, Detroit or I guess one of the two division, other two division winners, I think maybe they could, if they could somehow beat Philly, I think they could beat one of those other teams. But the idea of them beating another one of the NFC North teams, Jason, I don't believe they can.
If they can beat Philly, they can beat anybody, period. So that's the beauty of it, and that's where I think people should have hope, is that if they find a way that they can beat a Philadelphia, game changer. Then you only have to win two, and you've probably taken out one of not the two best teams in this whole tournament. Mm-hmm. So that's why I just think when you look at it, yeah, the odds are against you. Yeah, it's tough. Same thing would be said, oh, it could maybe beat Philly in 2010. So I'm going to bring it back to this. But can you beat Atlanta on the road on a Saturday night with the MVP? I don't know. Or with a quarterback that's playing at MVP level.
Right, because if you beat Philly, but when you're playing the number one seed the following week. That's important to understand.
Correct.
And you're not getting, you're not getting the Rams. You're not getting Tampa. You're the lowest remaining seed. And so you are guaranteed having to beat the two, having to beat the one, and then having to beat whoever else is left when you get there. And I don't think they're capable of stringing that type of a run together.
It's an
That's why getting the seventh seed is, and not getting that win yesterday, does matter.
It's an arduous road. It's a road you can get through and do it, but it will be incredibly difficult, a lot more difficult than it needed to be. But that's the road that this team has taken, is going to have to travel if they're going to try to get to their end destination.
Well, you're going to get to your destination, parts unknown. Tell us one last time about Pella before you go.
And ensure your home remains comfortable before you reach those brutal post-holiday winter. And Santa Claus got it done. Elves, not so much. Pella, make sure you use Pella Windows and Doors. Too many options and customizations for anyone else to do it. So instead of going through the big red fella, take advantage of this deal from Pella. As low as $19 per window, $81 per patio door per month. Certain restrictions do apply. Offer ends 12/31/2024. Visit PellaWI.com.
We say goodbye to old T, and we take more of your calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
All right, good win. Goodbye, Tausch. His departure imminent on his flight to parts unknown. That leaves us with the opportunity to take a ton of calls. Let's get to one now, and then we will blow through all of them during the 11 o'clock hour coming up. So if you're on hold, stay there. You will get plenty of opportunity to talk now. And there will be no more Aaron Jones references now that our boy has departed. Let's start with Steve in beautiful Ironwood, Michigan, up in the UP there. Hey, Steve, good morning. How are you?
Yep. Good morning. I'm fine here. It's just an honor to talk to you guys. And I've got this to say, Jason, you know, and I'm not trying to blow smoke up your dress or anything like that, but I absolutely love listening to this show because the great majority of people that call on this show love the Packers. They're semi-knowledgeable about football. They love the banter between you and Tausch and Jesse. And it's really great to be able to participate in a show like this. And where I'm going with this was I just got to get this off my chest. I listened to Packer Game Night or Game Day or whatever on the post-game show yesterday. I wish Tausch was still here because they had a guy from Alabama yesterday. That waited for like 70 minutes. God bless him. But he sat there, and for the next 5 to 10 minutes, all he did was bash Gutekunst. He bashed LaFleur. He bashed our draft choices. He bashed this. I mean, and we listened, and God bless Tausch, because he just sat there and listened to this, where I'm just sitting there and smoke's coming out of my ears. So, you know, for the most part, you know, I think we all realize that we're a good team. We may not be a Super Bowl team, but it, you know, it's still we're still in a heck of a lot better position than 28 to 30 teams in the NFL would want to be. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, you've got to stay optimistic. And I mean, as far as getting off on LaFleur, yeah. He does maybe need a little sideline etiquette, probably, you know, there, whatever. But, man, when this team is rolling and they're running their motion offense and they're running guys, they're running Jaden Reed on the end of rounds, they're putting Kraft in motion for a quarterback sneak. They are so much fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. You know, Steve, let me talk. Let's talk about this for a second, because this is a – I think what you bring up is a really, really good point, which, you know, I think I don't want to speak for Tausch. Lord knows he doesn't mind speaking for me. But what I would say is this. I think what we try to do is deliver a kind of a balanced conversation, right? One that's not to get your pom-poms out and you rah-rah, go Pack, go. But also, I think what the point you're making is an important one, and that is that let's not lose sight of what you have just because of what you don't have. And the conversation that we have had this season, at least from my perspective, going all the way back to being in that trailer at Summerfest with Gabe and Alex Stroh for our State of the Packers show, was I said, and as Tausch loves to say, you can check the tape, I said, they could end up being a better team with a better record and not get as far in the postseason. I also said that I thought they were still a year away from being a Super Bowl team. But the alternative, and it would appear, and again, who knows what's going to happen on Sunday at noon. Obviously, I don't anticipate them losing to the Bears. So if they win, they finish 12-5, which is the record that I predicted for them, by the way. And they will have been 3 games better in the record department. And yet somehow, if the Commanders win, which we expect, they will be in the exact same spot in the playoff picture, the 7th seed. They will have to go on the road to, presumably, Philadelphia. And that means that they could lose in Philly, which I think they can win that game. I don't think they will. I don't. That's just my expectation. So now you're looking at a team that was better than last year's team that has the same playoff position and loses earlier than they did last year. That is the possibility for a week from now when we're having these conversations, or 2 weeks from now after the playoff game. So I do think it's important to appreciate what they've accomplished and where they're at. And the season's not over, and maybe they do go on a run and I'm proven completely wrong. But the reason why I think your call, other than telling us how great we are, is important is because it also gives perspective of, hey, there's a hell of a lot of teams that would love to be in this position. And from my perspective, this is a team that this is a progression. Last year, I don't think any of us thought they were going to make the playoffs in Jordan Love's first year, and certainly not when they were 3-6. They make the playoffs. They win a playoff game. Those are all great stepping stones. This year is going to be another stepping stone. I don't think it's going to get them to New Orleans. I think they are not going to go to the Super Bowl. And if they do, I will admit that I was wrong. But this is a progression. We saw it with the 96 team. We saw it to some degree with the 2010 team, although they did arrive a year early, right? It was the 2011 team that was the better team, and then they obviously lost in the divisional round after having the first round bye. So My point is that what you're saying makes a lot of sense, but I think in the heat of the frustration after a game that you felt like you didn't really compete the way you wanted the Packers to compete, digging another big hole against a good team, I can understand the frustration that that guy from Alabama felt. But I think you've got the better perspective, Steve.
Well, you know, the other thing is for my, you know, positives and negatives, I guess the, and again, where I was disappointed was I thought that our offensive line had turned the corner. I thought the defensive line, I thought we were going to get more pressure on Darnold. And if we're going to sit back and let these quarterbacks have this much time, then there is no shot. But our offensive line, especially, I mean, we've got so much talent there, and we didn't do anything yesterday in our offensive line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought.
Yeah. I mean, Jordan Love gets sacked three times, which has not been the case, right? And thanks for the call, Steve. Look, they didn't play well enough, obviously. They didn't get off to a good start. That's the second time in 3 weeks that Josh Jacobs has lost a fumble. They weren't able to overcome that. So they are not good enough at this point to have Jordan Love throw for 185 yards and miss some critical throws. They're not good enough to overcome Josh Jacobs, who carried 17 times for 69 yards and had another touchdown. They're not good. And he had another one that was wiped out by a holding penalty, but they're not good enough to overcome a fumble like that. They're not good enough to overcome not getting enough takeaways. You heard Tausch mention earlier, they got the interception from Carrington Valentine. That was a huge play. Otherwise, they're donezo. I mean, that at least kept them still in the game, right? And so they're not as good as you want them to be. And they're not as good as they're eventually going to be, is the way I would view it. All right, we'll get to the 11 o'clock hour. We'll get to your calls, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Want to remind you, even though Tausch isn't here to do it, want to remind you about everything that AmFam's got going on right now. Packers fans, if you're ready for some game day excitement, it's going to be next year. But the next time you're at Lambeau, stop at the American Family Insurance Title Townhouse. You can do that on Sunday for the Bears game and experience the thrill of making a game-saving play with our interactive Protect the End Zone game. Plus, don't miss out on all the amazing giveaways from exclusive Packers merch to special prizes. There's something for everyone. So visit them at Title Town to make your game day unforgettable. For more information, check out amfam.com/Packers. The 11 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.